During the build-up to the war in Iraq a year ago, the Bush administration relied in part on information supplied by the Iraqi National Congress to make the case for war. Last fall, the Defense Intelligence Agency said most of that information was from Iraqi defectors who were made available by the Iraqi National Congress was of little or no value. Those same informants also provided information to the news media. According to a report published by the Knight Ridder News Service earlier this week, leading news outlets printed and broadcast questionable information based on those informants. Joining us now is Jonathan Landay, a national security reporter for Knight Ridder News, co-author of this week's story. He's with us by phone from the airport in Charlotte, North Carolina. Jonathan, we appreciate your being with us.
Good afternoon.
Your story revolves around a letter you obtained dated June 2002 from the Iraqi National Congress to the Senate Appropriations Committee. What does it say?
Basically, it's informing the committee what the Iraqi National Congress's intelligence collection program, or actually information collection program, was. It was an explaining what U.S. funds were being used for in this intelligence collection effort. It was basically an explanatory letter. Attached to this letter were basically explanations from the Iraqi National Congress how they were processing this information, allegedly people who were receiving it, as well as within the United States government, as well as a list of 108 articles that the Iraqi National Congress said contained information obtained through its information collection program.
And, of course, the reason they're answering to the Senate Appropriations Committee is they were being funded by the U.S. government at the time.
That's correct.
And still are today.
That's correct.
Now, what are some of the claims made by the defectors, and how did they appear in various kinds of news stories?
Well, I read every single one of these articles, and even halfway through, it becomes quite apparent that there are a number of if you would could call them trends in the reporting in terms of information that was being presented. And very quickly, I will just run through them, beginning with the allegations that Saddam Hussein had collaborated for years with Osama bin Laden and was complicit in the September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks, that Iraq had been training Islamic extremists from throughout the Middle East in the same hijacking techniques used in September 11th at a place called Salman Pak, and that at this particular training camp, they were also being prepared for operations against Iraq's neighbors and possibly the United States, that Iraq had mobile biological warfare facilities disguised as yogurt and milk trucks, had banned weapons production and storage facilities beneath Baghdad's largest hospital and fake water wells and palaces. And there are a number of others having to do with alleged Kuwaiti prisoners who had not been returned after the 1991 war, still being held in a secret underground prison at Salman Pak, and various other allegations.
We're speaking with Jonathan Landay, the national security correspondent of Knight Ridder Newspapers. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Jonathan, I think every one of those stories that you've related, out before the war, has been proven to be false.
That's correct. It's been known for a very long time within the U.S. intelligence community that while there were contacts, meetings occasionally between Iraqi intelligence officers and members of al-Qaeda, there is no compelling evidence that not only were Iraq and al-Qaeda working together in terms of launching attacks against the United States, but there is no evidence of an Iraqi hand in the September 11th attack, something that President Bush himself has said. And then you go down the list, and at least at this point, there's no evidence substantiating the allegation that there was a training camp.
Yeah.
No, et cetera, et cetera.
Et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Now, who carried these stories?
A variety of publications, the New York Times, the Washington Post, Vanity Fair Magazine, the Atlantic Monthly Magazine, the Times of London, the Sunday Times, various publications in Australia, two Knight Ridder newspapers, the Kansas City Star and the Philadelphia Daily News. And there were also stories in the news agencies, the Associated Press, Agence France Presse, and then when stories would appear, there would be rewrites of the original stories in both by the news agencies and by various other publications.
And indeed, an article by Mark Bowden in the Atlantic Monthly is cited. He was interviewed on a program on National Public Radio. That's National Public Radio's on the list, as you mentioned. Knight Ridder is also on the list for a couple of its news stories. Some of these, though, are, you know, somebody doing a story about the Iraqi exiled groups, and of course they're getting information from this group. Where else would you get it?
Well, that's absolutely correct. And, you know, if you decide you're going to rely on a defector, and I have done the same myself, then you try and confirm what the defector is saying. The thing in this case, though, is that some of these defectors, some of the key interviews were done with defectors who had already been interviewed by U.S. intelligence officers, FBI officers, and determined to not have reliable information. And it was only after they were basically rejected as reliable sources of information that they were then produced to journalists for interviews.
And as you point out in your article, sometimes they would change their story or their supposed rank in the Iraqi army, for example, or various details of their story. But they also provided information direct to the Bush administration beyond to the CIA or the FBI.
That's correct. Although some senior officials are insisting that this information was not used, that they did not receive information through this particular channel, but there are public statements that have been made by the administration where you can find these stories, particularly the Salman Pak story, mm-hmm. The training camp. It's in a White House document that was produced the day that President Bush addressed the United Nations, I believe it was September 12th of 2002. It cited the Salman Pak allegation with no attribution at all as to where it came from. And then what you also had was very prominent supporters of a preemptive attack on Iraq who were outside the government, yet very close to the INC as well as to people within the government who were also citing this information and specifically drawing attention to some of these articles.
Now, we just have about a minute left, but as we talk about the anniversary of the war, lessons learned, what could reporters and editors have done better, do you think?
Well, one of the things it seems to me that could have been done was when a journalist is interviewed, was introduced to a defector, having interviewed the defector, to have then gone onto the internet and Googled the guy and his information to see whether or not he had actually spoken to other journalists beforehand and what he had said and whether there were differences in what they had said, as well as whether or not the guy had already been interviewed by U.S. officials and perhaps rejected because his information was unreliable.
And, of course, defectors are continue to be important sources, and it's not to say that all of their information is bad, and Korea is...
That's absolutely right, and that's a very important point, that the information collection program run by the Iraqi National Congress, according to senior officials now, has produced some very valuable information. This information that I've written about has only to do with information that was produced before the war.
Jonathan Lande, we appreciate you taking your time. I know you're on a trip, ducking out to take this call. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Jonathan Lande of Knight Ridder Newspaper speaking to us from Charlotte. I'm Neil Conan, NPR News, Washington.